LGF, Lionsgate Films, a Lionsgate Entertainment Company.
The latest ceasefire came too late to save these villages.
United Artists, an MGM company.
Today, President Clinton voiced concerns at the deteriorating situation in Sarajevo.
United Artists, in association with Lionsgate Entertainment.
When people ask me, good listeners, why do I hate all the Tutsi? I say, read our history. The Tutsi were collaborators for the Belgian colonists. They stole our Hutu land. They whipped us. Now they have come back, these Tutsi rebels. They are cockroaches. They are murderers. Rwanda is our Hutu land. We are the majority. They are a minority of traitors and invaders. We will squash their infestation. We will wipe out the RPF rebels. This is RTLM, Hutu Power Radio. Stay alert. Watch your neighbors.
A dusty main street crammed with pedestrians, traffic and market stalls. Kigali, 1994. A minivan is stopped at a police checkpoint. In the front passenger seat, a young, handsome black man slips a roadside officer some money.
Thank you. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Paul Rusa Sebagina nods for the driver to continue, and they pass a group of soldiers relaxing in the shade of a tree before arriving at Kigali Airport.
Wonderful. Next time you are there, tell Fidel that I said hello. Good to see you, Jim.
Hotel Rwanda. Having collected boxes of produce from their contacts at the airport, Paul and his colleague Debay travel through vast swathes of urban sprawl. Debay sings along to the radio as he drives.
Emma for me, Hutu combo e, Emma Lami.
Oh, that is a fine cigar, sir.
This is a Cohiba cigar. Each one is worth 10,000 francs.
10,000 francs?
Yes, yes. But it is worth more to me than 10,000 francs.
What do you mean, sir?
If I give a businessman 10,000 francs, what does that matter to him? He is rich. But if I give him a Cohiba cigar, straight from Havana, Cuba, hey, that is style, Dube.
The van has Hotel de Mille Collines on the side. A man in a colourful shirt.
Cohiba, a fantastic cigar.
It's the best, eh?
So, you're going to join us at the rally today?
I will try my best, George, but these days I have no time for rallies and politics.
Politics is power, Paul. Hutu power and money.
George throws him a patterned into a Hamway shirt.
It's time for you to join your people.
Thank you, George. But time is also money. I need 6 extra cases of beer today, along with the regular order.
George checks the cash.
Business is good at the hotel.
It is very good.
I'm always glad to see you, Paul.
Down in the warehouse, a forklift truck picks up a wooden crate. George and Paul arrive.
Hey, put that back! Put that back, that's not beer!
The crate falls, spilling its cargo of machetes.
You, clean this up.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Hey, Paul, don't worry about the Carlsberg, eh? I'll give you Heineken. And I won't charge you extra.
Thank you.
George picks up a machete.
A bargain buy from China. 10 cents each. You know, I'll get at least 50.
At least.
The van leaves George's warehouse.
George Rutagunda is a bad man. I've heard him on the radio telling the Hutus to kill all the Tutsis.
Rutagunda and his people, they are fools, Dube. Their time is soon over. Anyway, this is business.
Dube rounds a bend into another street that's packed with people.
It's the Interhamwe.
Do as they say, pull over.
Men in Interhamwe clothing, similar to George's shirt, order the van to the roadside with sticks. A man on a float chants on a sound system. Youngsters holding crude wooden guns dance with adults who are waving flags that bear red, yellow and green vertical stripes and a black R at the center. Debe ducks down.
No, sit up, Debe. Sit up. Smile, Debe. Don't attract attention to yourself.
Some of these men are my neighbors. They know that I'm Tutsi.
Just smile as if they are friends, Debe.
Some rally goers point at Debe. Paul held up the shirt George gave him and the mob passes.
Get out of here.
Relieved, Debe drives away past the rally's tailenders.
There's water coming from the box.
Pack here. We'll go in the front.
One of the cargo boxes is leaking.
Grégoire, please help with this water. Grégoire, deal with this right away.
Grégoire does so reluctantly. A white hotel manager.
Dubert, this is the lobby.
Paul, what's going on?
I am sorry, sir. It is an emergency. Do my best.
Oh, shit! Oh, sorry, sir.
Lobsters spill over a kitchen counter.
10 alive, 12 are dead.
All right. But save the shells. Fill them with a stuffing. The good meat and something local.
Cassava?
And the fish.
And tipali.
Yes. We'll call it fresh lobster and a cassava and tipali crust. Dubé?
Style, sir?
Yes, sir.
The problem is, General Bizimungu, I have information that the Interahamwe militia will not heed the peace agreement.
Colonel, the UN need not worry about the Interahamwe. We will control them.
General.
Ah, Paul. The scotch is exceptional.
It is our most popular single malt. I knew you'd like it. Colonel Oliver, it is a pleasure to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Paul.
General, let me recommend the lobster for lunch today. It is spectacular, straight off the plane.
Fresh lobster in Kigali. You do us proud, Paul.
Oh, thank you.
I left a little something for you with the court check.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
I need flour. Give me 2 bags of flour.
Paul, in his dark blue suit, takes 2 bottles of whiskey to the cloakroom attendant.
Good afternoon, ladies. Elizabeth, please put these in the general's briefcase.
Yes, sir.
This is RTLM Hoot Power Radio. I have a message for our president. Beware. Do not trust the Tutsi rebels. Do not shake the hand that will stab you. They will trick you.
Reporting from Kigali, Rwanda, where tensions are high as the deadline for the UN brokered peace agreement approaches.
Paul drives along a rural neighborhood road.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
A neighbor waves from his front gate, and Paul returns the gesture. He drives up to a set of large double gates that are unlocked from the other side.
Hello, Jeremiah.
Hello, sir.
Paul kisses his beautiful wife, Tatiana.
Good to see you, Paul.
Odette.
See you soon.
Odette leaves.
So your brother and the girls are here?
Yes.
A skipping game.
Okay, Anais, let me see. Your turn.
1, 2, 3.
Yes! Who is the winner? Oh, it doesn't matter. I have chocolates. Who wants chocolates?
Hey, Papa, watch this.
His daughters hula hoop.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here, chocolates, chocolates. Who wants?
Say thank you to your uncle, boss.
Please, not before dinner.
Not before dinner, Mama says.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Let's go in.
While their children draw in another room, Paul, Tatiana, Thomas and Fidenz chat.
Things are very slow at the shop. How are things at the hotel?
Very busy. Many people visiting the gorillas. A lot of foreign press are arriving
soldiers.
For the peace. What?
There are soldiers.
Where?
On the street.
Paul tries to ease his son's concern.
Go see what's happening. It's all right.
It's dark. Paul eases open his gate.
It's mine for the rebel. You come with those.
What is it? Tiana, go back in the house. We must go back. You mustn't be out here.
It's fatal.
A Hutu soldier slaps their neighbor.
No, Captain. You see, come. It's not me. Captain.
Three of the khaki-clothed soldiers force him towards a truck. He gets rifle-butted.
Let's do something. Do what?
Call someone. I'm not going.
Victor's punched and kicked in the head. One of the Hutu soldiers looks over. Paul closes the gate, then looks at Tomas and Tassiana.
There's nothing we can do. You must stay the night, Tomas.
Yes.
Why would they arrest Victor? He has no politics. He's a gardener.
Who knows, Tatsi? Who knows?
Someone who didn't like him denounced him as a rebel spy. Happens all the time now.
And maybe you could call one of your contacts in the army.
It wouldn't help.
You could ask as a favor.
No, I could not. Tassie, all day long I work to please this officer, that diplomat, some tourist. To store up favor, so if there is a time when we need help, I have powerful people I can call upon.
But Victor was a good neighbor.
He is not family. Family is all that matters. Please, please, leave these things to my good judgment.
He rolls over in bed away from Tassiana, but his expression is etched with guilt. Paul drives the hotel van past its gatehouse.
This assignment is bullshit.
Come on, a few days in a nice hotel, no one shooting at us?
Three Western journalists.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Mikulin. I am Paul Rousset, the house manager.
Hi. How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
How do you do?
Anything that you need, please find me.
Thank you.
Certainly.
A Peace, Love and Brotherhood UNAMIR banner is put up in a function room at the bar.
So, what is the actual difference between a Hutu and a Tutsi?
According to the Belgian colonists, the Tutsis are taller, are more elegant. It was the Belgians that created the division.
Oh.
They picked people, those with thinner noses, lighter skin. They used to measure the width of people's noses. The Belgians used the Tutsis to run the country. Then when they left the power to the Hutus. And of course, the Hutus took revenge on the elite Tutsis for years of repression. Am I telling the truth, Paul?
Yes, unfortunately. Please take this to the general. Benedict is our finest journalist in Kigali, an expert on the subject.
So what are you, Paul?
Paul studies the cameraman.
I am Hutu. Gentlemen.
Jack, the bearded cameraman, turns to two stunning black women.
Excuse me, honey. Can I ask you a personal question? Are you a Hutu or a Tutsi?
I am Tutsi.
And your friend, Tutsi?
No, I'm Hutu.
Jack turns to Benedict.
They could be twins.
Get the camera. The general's going to give us an interview.
To the Tutsi woman.
Hey, I'm in room 22. I'd love to finish up this conversation.
Senior UN officers claim that the Rwandan army is secretly training and arming the Hutu militia called the Interahamwe. I put this claim to the head of the armed forces, General Bizimungu.
No. No, we have not been training the militia. The UN are mistaken in this accusation.
Do you support your president's agreement to make peace with the rebels?
The president has the full support of the army.
That peace agreement will be signed today in Tanzania between Tutsi rebel forces and President Habyarimana.
This is a great day for Rwanda and for all of Africa.
Negotiation has replaced
Paul, have a drink.
Bizimungu pours him a whiskey at a table with another officer, and George is puffing a cigar.
To our president, may you find peace. May we all find peace.
Paul drinks uneasily. Colonel Oliver ends the conference.
To peace.
Peace. Night, and a storm's brewing.
I'm planning on returning there.
Thank you. Bye.
Tomas.
Paul hugs him.
Hello, Fidance. Well, this is a surprise.
Oh, forgive us, Paul. We must talk.
Yes, what's wrong?
I have it from a very reliable source, Paul.
Thank you, Salah.
A waiter with wine.
My assistant, the Hutu power man. He says that we must get out now, that soon it'll be very bad.
Give me this man's name.
But please, Paul, even though he is in Tahamwe, he's a friend.
He wants your job from us.
He said that there is a signal. It is called the Tall Trees. And when they hear the signal, the militia are to go to war.
Paul, please. Let us take Tassiana with us. You are Hutu. You will be safe.
Fidence, I know you have heard many things. And I know what we have seen, Thomas. But please, the United Nations are here now. The world press are watching. The peace has been signed. Let this process work.
What was that?
Darkness descends over the hotel.
Power cuts. We are running on generators. Fidence, please, don't worry. Tomorrow you will come by the house and we will discuss this with Tassiana. All right?
Having conceded, Tomas and his wife, Fidence, leave the hotel. Paul's driving back from work in darkness. With a frown, he tries to change the radio channel, but all the stations are the same. He scans the road up ahead. A vehicle set alight in a side alley. Then Hutu soldiers pass in a truck, dictating curfew, and are followed by an Interahamwe vehicle. Paul frowns in disbelief. When Paul arrives home, the house is in darkness. He reaches for a torch in the glove compartment and switches it on as he climbs out of the van. The torch beam scans across the windows as he makes his way over to the front door.
Tassiana.
Having entered his home, Paul tries a light switch. He moves through a darkened hallway. His daughter's beds are empty. Paul slowly enters another room, and his torch beam picks out a group of people, some brandishing hammers.
Paul!
Tassiana!
What is going on here?
Our house has been burned.
What?
Didn't you hear the news?
What news?
They are saying President Habyarimana has been murdered.
Tutsi rebels have killed him.
It's nonsense. Why would the rebels kill the president when he agreed to peace?
They just stare at him.
Everyone, please, out of this room. Please, Jean-Baptiste, find them seats in the other room.
Please.
Tassiana hands her daughter to someone.
Did you meet with Thomas and Fidel?
Yes, I told them to go home. Go and call them, Tassi.
I've tried. Our phones, they do not work.
Paul frowns in thought.
Why do the neighbors run to us?
You are the only Hutu they can trust.
You are Tutsi.
They are scared, Paul. I am scared.
He takes her into his arms, and she hugs him tightly.
These are probably rumors. Started by agitators, we must remain calm for the children, Tassi.
Forgive me, Paul. Elise says that Roger has gone.
Gone? Gone where?
He was afraid for his friend Simon, Mama.
No. Who? Where has he gone, Elise?
He went next door.
Wait. Paul. Tassiana, Paul, please. You have to stay here. Could you? Please stay in the house. No.
Paul crouches down with his torch and peers through some bushes.
Please,
Tell me what is wrong.
Oh, my son, where are you hurt?
Roger, talk to me, where are you hurt?
Roger, Paul.
He picks up his son, Roger, and carries him.
Get his clothes off her. Please get some water.
He's hurt.
Please, please. Let's get his clothes
covered in blood.
I'll bring something.
He went next door to the Chiranga.
Look here. Please, Roger. Look him, Paul. I can't find the wound. What happened to you?
Tell your mother.
Talk to me.
Tell your mother what happened, Roger.
Okay.
Roger, you're okay.
Do not worry. He is not cut. He is not hurt. This is not his blood.
You are not hurt.
My darling, it's okay. It's okay.
You are safe. Look at your mother.
It's okay.
Come here, Elise.
Where did the blood come from?
Please, please! You are safe.
You're right, Roger.
You are safe, Roger. You are safe, Roger. Okay, my darling. It's okay. I love you so much. I love you.
Morning, and plumes of smoke rise from the city. Inside Paul's house, Tatiana cradles Roger in her arms as her two girls sleep beside them. Hearing the gunshots from outside, Paul comes in and reaches out to the boy.
Oh, son.
Paul looks thoughtful.
Paul.
Listen to me, good people of Rwanda. Terrible news.
It is true.
Horrible news. Our great president is murdered by the Tutsi cockroaches.
Oh,
they tricked him to sign their phony peace agreement. Then they shot his plane from the sky. It's time to clear the brush, good Hutus of Rwanda. We must cut the tall trees. Cut the tall trees now!
The soldiers are here!
Let us go to work, loyal Hutus.
No, no, everyone, stay calm. Stay calm and be quiet.
Find these traitors.
Paul strides through the people to a window and peeks out.
Everybody out! You two, check the back.
Staring in shock, he lets the curtain fall back into place, then slowly turns round to the men behind him.
I better go have a word with them.
Go around the back. Make sure no one comes out.
Yes, sir.
Who's in charge here?
You.
The captain beckons him as the soldiers enter the house.
Can I help you, sir?
Let me see you attended the cut.
I'm a good friend of General Bizimungu.
The captain looks at the large Hutu passport stamp.
Get out of here! We have to go. Everybody out! Get out!
You work at the hotel diplomat?
No, I work at the Mikolin. I used to work at the diplomat.
We want to use that hotel. All the room keys are in the safe. You must open it. Let's go.
Sir, I cannot leave my family. I must take them with me. It is not safe here. There are Tutsi spies everywhere.
Captain Kali, I cannot take all these people.
No, sir. Yeah, you do not have to. We have a car and a van.
Captain Kalis, come on.
Roger, let's go.
Come on, hurry.
Go around. Let's go. Let's go.
Can I go with you? Yes, of course, Jeremiah. Go around, hurry.
Squashed into the hotel van, they drive off behind the military truck full of soldiers.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Oh, it's Simon, Papa.
Don't look, Tessa.
Bloodied bodies lie strewn across front gardens. The convoy winds its way along the smoking streets and through groups of militiamen waving sticks, rifles, and machetes. An Interahamwe member scrapes the road with his machete as the trucks and minibus pass. People sit on the grass beside bodies, while soldiers usher a group of men, women, and children out from a building. A militiaman in a beret waves his rifle in the air, grinning. Men wearing the colourful Interahamwe shirts and trousers loot the houses and cheer as the trucks go past. Tatiana watches as Tutsi people cower on the grass verges. One man sits staring at the ground with his head in his hands. They arrive at the Hotel Diplomat.
The safe is in the manager's office.
You two, go with him.
Yes, sir.
Paul leads them into an office and heaves a bookshelf aside. The soldiers spot a fridge.
Look at this. Beer.
As they peer into the fridge, Paul opens the safe. Checking that the soldiers aren't looking, he takes a wad of notes and puts them into his pocket. He opens a box and sees jewels and watches.
Hey!
I've got them.
On his way out, he stops in shock as he sees the hotel van empty. His family and neighbors are all crouching on the ground. Seeing Tatiana, he holds up the keys, desperate.
I have them, I have them, I've got them!
The captain knocks them from his hands and slaps him.
Traitor! These are Tutsi cockroaches!
Let me explain, sir. Please, wait.
He offers his gun.
Shoot them. Shoot them.
Please, I don't use guns. I don't.
It's easy. Shoot them, or you die first.
Sir, what could I pay you not to do this?
You wanna pay me?
Why not? Look at them. These are not rebels. Soon they will be worthless to you. Why not take some money for your work?
How much?
You name a price.
Keeping the gun at Paul's head, the captain looks at a boy, then an old man, and an old woman.
10,000 francs for each.
Sir, I don't have that much.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah. It's $1,000 US. And, yeah. 50,000 francs for my wife and children.
Take them. Hey.
Get them.
They're in. Paul turns round in desperation.
Sir, I have more money, actually. And let them give you something. Some money, whatever they have. All right?
Here you are.
Give me everything you have.
People give him money and watches.
Here you are. See?
This is enough for one cockroach. Pick one.
Sir, I will give you 100,000 francs for all of them.
Give me it.
I don't have it here. At the Mikulin, I can get it for you.
You'll run into the hotel and hide behind the UN.
Sir, I swear. 100,000 francs. I will get you the money. You keep them outside. Please, sir. Please.
Let's go.
Okay. Everyone in the van. Come on.
They scramble into the van. The convoy pulls up outside the Milekilin's gatehouse, and the captain gets out.
Go with my soldiers. And hurry back if you want to keep these cockroaches.
They arrive next to UN trucks and soldiers. Paul dashes into reception, which is in chaos.
Excuse me, sir. Please, could you help?
As men relax outside in the hotel garden, Paul goes straight to the safe, which he opens with a set of keys. Back at the van, he runs up to the captain.
Here's the money. 100,000 francs as promised. And please let them go, sir.
Get the money. We'll get them later.
You can go.
Thank you.
Traitor.
He sits shell-shocked in the driver's seat.
Thank you, Paul.
Odette rubs his shoulder as he looks at his wife.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I can't wait for police. You were standing when you
passed.
Ah, yes. Paul. I have to go. The staff of Kivu Lodge fled. I have to pass up there. You are in charge now.
It's okay. It's okay.
Come on.
I can't find my husband.
Everyone, please move to the side. Clear the door.
I don't know what happened in front.
Andre, we need two suites.
Paul, please, where is Marco?
Yes, I understand. I know, I understand. Please, if you give me one moment, please. Adette, Jamatis, take this room.
What about the neighbors? What will they do?
Dubé.
Yes, sir.
Please, put these guests in two staff rooms.
Right away, sir.
Paul and his family enter a hotel room. The girls head for food on a table.
No, please. It's odd. Have the fruit.
Paul lies a sleeping Roger down onto a bed.
It's all right, Roger. It's all right. Yeah. Joseph, your suit, sir. This mess is unacceptable. Call housekeeping, get them up here right away.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Trying Thomas Amphidians.
All right.
He changes into a suit and checks his slapped cheek.
I need a line now, please. Hello?
He puts his jacket on and speaks to Tatiana.
You did not reach them.
No. No answer.
It is a very tense situation, and I just want to assure the families of those who are there that we are doing everything we possibly can to try to ensure the safety of our citizens there.
Can you at least tell us, is the airport actually open?
We are calling the airport. We are calling the embassy. We are trying to get as much information for you as we can. And yes, your passport, yes. Antoinette will take care of this for you. Dubé, where is Gregoire?
Sir, he has moved into the presidential suite.
Paul climbs the stairs and knocks on the double wooden doors.
Mr. Manager. What do you think you are doing, Gregoire?
What is it?
It's okay, darling. What do you want? You had better get out of this room and back downstairs right away.
I don't have to listen to you anymore.
Yes, you do. I am in charge. Now get out of this room right now.
Gregoire notices a refugee family being shown to a room.
Mr. Manager, do you notice the smell of cockroaches? If I were to leave this room, I'm sure I could find it. And I know people who can cleanse it. But maybe it doesn't bother you. Why is that? Are you used to the smell? But not me. I need a clean room to escape it.
Paul slowly turns and walks away. In reception,
house has been burned. I have nowhere to go.
Yes, I understand this, Your Honor, but we are operating at capacity as it is. I can give you one room, but you will have to share it. I'm sorry.
There's no way we can share.
I understand. I am sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Yes.
Paul, I need your help.
Yes, my master.
In the car park, Archer opens a Red Cross van, revealing a number of children staring out at him.
They're Tutsi children from the St. Francis orphanage. Okay, come on, let's go.
I have only one room.
That'll do.
Yeah, come. Ato, please.
How will he be able to get? He watches them sadly as they line up by the UN soldiers.
I have to go get the rest of them.
The rest of them?
There are another 10. I'll be back soon.
Madam Archer, I have a favor to ask of you. My brother-in-law and his family, they live near the St. Francis on Eau Claire, 20. Can you please get them and bring them here to me?
Sure.
And I have a photo.
He hands her a family photograph and she studies it carefully.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Everyone, keep moving! Later, in their room, Tatiana's with a sleeping Roger.
Has he spoken to you yet?
He kisses Roger on the head, then sits on his own bed, rubbing his cheek and loosening his tie. He lies down, closing his eyes with a pained expression.
Is your face still hurting?
It's all right.
He strokes her face tenderly.
The neighbors asked me to thank you for your kindness.
I shouldn't have brought them here. The first thing they told me when I received my appointment was to never, never lower the tone of the hotel. Maintain the Micoline's dignity at all times, Paul.
They look at each other, and he smooths her hair.
Soon all of this will be over. What if I lose my job, Tatiana? Oh my God.
Where are you going?
I'll be right back.
Paul slowly opens the door into a darkened room. The orphans sit up in surprise, bathed in light from the hallway. Paul stands for a while, staring at them all, before switching on the light. A hotel staff member comes in and looks at them in confusion.
Take care of them.
How, sir?
Bathe them. Feed them. Put them to bed. I will send you some help.
She takes the keys and smiles nervously.
Okay, babies.
We have heard reports of reprisal massacres. Will the UN intervene to stop the bloodshed?
We're his peacekeepers, not his peacemakers. My orders are not to intervene. Excuse me.
Thank you, Commander.
Here.
Okay, Kevin? It's fine. Listen, I got us a car, but we gotta move now. We're not allowed to do that, Jack.
David, the shit's going down outside these walls. We gotta cover it.
We're not leaving the hotel grounds unless we have an armored car. That's the ground rules.
What, the ground rules? Where do you think we are, fucking Wimbledon?
We cover the story from here until we get the proper vehicles. Jack, shoot some B-roll of the refugees.
Jack and his cellman watch David go, then get into a car with press taped onto it.
Stop.
Colonel, I have no way to protect these people. And I have more refugees than I have room for as it is. I was given 20 orphans today by the Red Cross. This is not a refugee camp. Can you not take them with you to your facilities?
No, I can't do that, Paul. I'm sorry. I'm overwhelmed at my refugee camp. I'm under attack, constant attack. As soon as we can stabilize the situation, then I'll take them.
Paul enters the hotel kitchen with dirty plates.
The Tutsi cockroach judge called Marquesa is hiding at 4 Rue de Kabula and his cockroaches.
Turn that radio off.
Watch out for him.
And get back to work. We have a hotel to run.
There is no work here anyway. The boss has left.
I am your boss.
He glares at them and leaves.
Sir, there's a call from the Micoline in Rwanda on line one.
Yes? Who am I speaking to?
Yes, sir. Paul Rusesa Begina, the house manager. I met you on your last visit here, Mr. Tillens.
Ah, yes. Paul, I remember. How are things there?
The situation is difficult, sir.
Some of our directors believe we should close the Micoline until this unrest is over.
I'm not sure about that, Paul. What do you think?
Sir, that would be very bad for our reputation. The Micoline is an oasis of calm for all our loyal customers. What would they think if Sabina deserted them now? I assure you, the United Nations have everything under control, sir.
Very well, Paul. Very well. But if this thing gets worse, we must close. If there is anything I can do, please call.
Sir, yes, there is one thing I'm going to be needing from you right away. Let me tell you, it was an embarrassment for me to have to ask for this. Most of us in this room have known each other and worked together for many years. Is it really necessary for me to get a letter from Belgium for you to perform your duties?
Some of the staff look sheepish.
In fact, forget this letter. If you don't want to work for me and would rather be out there, then leave now.
The hotel staff look at him silently.
Please, everyone, back to work.
Paul, thank you for coming. The air conditioner's on the blink. Is there any way you can have a look at it? I'm just on a deadline.
Definitely.
Thank you. Brett, let me know when you get the satellite feed. Thanks.
Mr. Fleming, I brought you some tea as well, sir.
Thank you, Paul. You're an oasis in the desert.
The elements in the government and the army are following the example of what happened to the Americans in Somalia. I think they intend to intimidate us, try to attack us, and hope that the West will pull all its troops out.
Do you think they'll succeed?
No, they won't. The UN's here to stay.
Jack enters, carrying his camera.
What the hell do you think you're doing? I'm responsible for the safety of this crew. What is this?
Jack puts a tape in the recorder, then, noticing Paul staring long and hard at him, walks out. Paul and David look on with grave faces as they watch the images of women being bludgeoned, surrounded by dead bodies. While David picks up the phone, he asks the sound man,
"Where did you get this?"
"Half a mile down the road."
"Fred, it's David. I've got incredible footage. It's a massacre. Dead bodies, machetes. If I get this through right away, can you make the evening news?" "Yeah."
Paul looks at the screen with a shameful frown.
"You have to lead with us.
I point at you, you do a shot. You get a total double, and you see all of the chicken."
"Excuse me, Mr. Douglas."
"Hey, Paul. Listen. Sorry about earlier. If I'd known you were in there, I wouldn't have..."
"I am glad that you have shot this footage, and that the world will see it. It is the only way we have a chance that people might intervene."
"Yeah, and if no one intervenes, it's still a good thing to show."
"How can they not intervene when they witness such atrocities?"
"I think if people see this footage, they'll say, 'Oh my God, that's horrible,' and then go on eating their dinners. What the hell do I know? Listen, you want to just relax?"
"I have more work to do. Thank you for your offer. Please enjoy your evening, Mr. Douglas."
Sir, we've got trouble at the gate."
Jack films as a flood of people hurry towards the hotel. A bloody man stumbles to the ground. Paul helps him.
"They're killing everyone.
The convoy have surrounded the hotel. Come on, cover now."
A pickup filled with machete bearing into Hamway draws up.
"Hold on! Do not shoot!
One of the Interhamwe throws a blood-stained UN helmet at the feet of the peacekeepers. The Interhamwe drive away, waving their weapons. Colonel Oliver picks up the helmet.
"Lieutenant, guard this gate."
"Yes, sir. You two, take up positions behind the sandbag."
"They murdered my men. I lost 10 Belgian UN soldiers. They were protecting the Lady Prime Minister."
"She is dead."
"Yeah, she's dead. The Europeans are putting together an intervention force. They'll be here in a few days."
"Yes, I understand that, Colonel, but there is simply no place for me to put all of this."
"What can I do? I'll put two more men on the gate, two of my best lieutenants."
All right. I understand. Thank you."
Back inside the hotel, Paul takes Tatiana to meet Archer.
"Madam Archer." "Hello. We were expecting you 5 days ago."
"I'm sorry."
"My brother and his family, did you find them?"
"I made it to the house, but it was empty."
"Empty?"
"It had been ransacked. As I left, an old woman, she waved to me. I went to the house. She has the two little girls. They're safe."
"Okay. But my brother and his wife, did the old lady know of them?" "My brother is dead. They would never leave their children."
"Perhaps they could not make it home, Tatiana. They are hiding. Please, can you return and bring the girls back here to us?
I can't. There are Interhamwe roadblocks everywhere. When I reached the orphanage, the Interhamwe were there. They'd already started killing children. They made me watch. There was one girl. She had a little sister wrapped on her back. As they were about to chop her, she cried out to me. Please don't let them kill me. I promise I won't be Tutsi anymore.
Tatiana has heard enough and walks away.
They're targeting Tutsi children, Paul, to wipe out the next generation. I've nowhere to take the orphans, Paul.
Don't worry. There will be an intervention force coming soon, and we will get the orphans out then.
The intervention force arrives in a convoy of 4x4s. The soldiers are greeted warmly.
Welcome. Yes.
Well done.
Tatiana kisses Paul. Colonel Oliver speaks with some of the soldiers. Suddenly, he angrily throws his beret on the ground. Paul looks on anxiously as Colonel Oliver marches straight past him and back into the hotel.
So, Colonel, what can I get for you?
Something strong.
Scotch.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Colonel. You have performed a minor miracle.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
You should spit in my face.
Excuse me, Colonel.
You're dirt. We think you're dirt, Paul.
Who is we?
The West. All the superpowers. Everything you believe in, Paul. They think you're dirt. They think you're done. You're worthless.
I'm afraid I don't understand what you are saying, sir.
Oh, come on. Don't bullshit me, Paul. You're the smartest man here. You got them all eating out of your hands. You could own this freaking hotel, except for one thing. You're black. You're not even a nigger. You're an African. They're not gonna stay, Paul. They're not gonna stop the slaughter.
Please.
Hello.
Got it.
Paul joins his family, who are playing cards.
Hello, Daddy.
Elise, sit down in the other room.
The children go.
What is it? All the whites are leaving. They are being evacuated.
But what about us?
We have been abandoned.
But the soldiers will stop the killers.
Listen to me, Tassi, listen. I said all the whites are leaving. The French, the Italians, even the UN Belgian soldiers. All of them.
Who is left?
I don't know. Colonel Oliver said he has 300 UN peacekeepers for the whole country. The most he can spare for the hotel are 4 men. And they are not allowed to shoot. I am a fool.
No. No, no.
They told me I was one of them, and I... The wine, chocolates, cigar style, I swallowed it. I swallowed it. I swallowed all of it. And they handed me their shit. I have no history. I have no memory. I'm a fool, Tassie.
You are no fool. I know who you are.
News Service Africa. The United Nations source reports that the US and British representatives on the Security Council will lobby for the removal of all UN peacekeepers from Rwanda.
While a line of foreign nationals has their documents checked by a soldier, the beautiful Tutsi woman trails behind Jack and his colleagues. The hotel doormen shelter the Westerners with umbrellas as they cross the rain-soaked driveway.
Please, Jack, please don't go.
Wait, he's British.
Jack, please don't leave me. Please.
I'll talk just please, one second.
Please, Jack, please. They'll put me on the street. They'll chop me.
Shaking, Jack fishes money out of his wallet.
No, no, no.
You must go. You must. Please, they are waiting.
Paul?
Jack.
Paul. He won't put you out here. If anything, she wants. Anything, just charge.
It's not necessary.
Okay.
You have to let him go.
Paul looks at the lonely figure of Colonel Oliver. David and Jack are escorted from the hotel by an employee with an umbrella.
It's a lovely day, please. Christ, it's a shame.
The men file into a bus. Paul steps after them. A large group of locals run towards the bus. Led by a white priest and white nuns, some of whom are carrying children, Jack films them as the group are immediately barred by soldiers.
Thank you for being here. Thank you very much. Thank you.
No Rwandans.
What?
Foreign nationals only. Sorry, Father, those were the orders.
But you can't leave the children behind.
Sorry, Father, we have our orders.
You can't leave them.
We can do no more.
Father, it is of no use. These men are not here. They are not here to help us. Please, there is nothing we can do. Get your people on the bus. I will take care of the others. It is of no use, Father. Please, hurry.
No.
You must. No. To the hotel.
We'll take care of the kids, Father.
No.
What did you say?
No.
Sir, please.
No filming.
Camera. We have the right to film.
No filming. Go to the hotel.
No.
Go inside. Go inside the hotel. All of you. Yes, you can stay. Yes, we will take care of you. Go into the hotel.
Families are split as Rwandans and non-Rwandans are divided.
Go to the hotel. Go inside. Go inside the hotel.
Paul turns to Colonel Oliver, who looks away, ashamed. The priest climbs into a small red minibus with some of the nuns in the back. The non-Rwandans look on from their seats on the main bus. One of them takes a photo. Paul returns to the hotel where the Rwandans are huddled under the large portico. The bus pulls away, following a 4x4 full of soldiers. Debay joins Paul in the rain.
Sir, come to bed.
Please, everyone inside.
Please, people, let's go inside.
Out of the rain, please.
Let's go.
Come, sister, come.
Let's go.
Paul and Tassiana are in bed together.
I want you to go.
Go where?
You take the children. You
go get the girls. Your card says Hutu. You
what
pay
do
money.
You think?
No, please, please. You pay money at the roadblocks. I want you to go.
No, Tassiana, no. I will never leave you.
Paul is woken by a gun being poked in his face by a Hutu soldier.
Get up. Get up. Get up, get up, get up. Are you the manager?
Yes, sir. What's the matter?
Everyone must leave the hotel now.
Why?
Papa, what's wrong?
It's an order.
I need some time. 20, 30 minutes to take a shower. Sir, people are still sleeping.
I don't care.
Please, let me get you some beers, eh? You and your boys, and I'll be down right away. All right, as quick as I can.
10 minutes.
Yes, sir, 10 minutes.
Get out of the way.
Roger's not here. Where is he? Where's Roger?
Under the bed.
Shh,
shh, it's Papa. They've gone. They've gone, they've gone.
Paul carries his son to Tassiana.
Oh, my darling, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay. It's okay. Come on, it's okay. It's okay.
Go to the roof, Tassiana.
The roof?
Yes, yes, go to the roof right now. Yes, good day. General Bizimungu, please. Here's where? No, that is unacceptable. Who would order such a thing? Yes, did you find the general?
Gentlemen, please have some beer.
Get me the guest list.
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Sorry, sir, but I have a call from Paul in Kigali. He says it's urgent.
Paul, are you all right?
We have a big problem, sir.
What?
The Hutu army have come. They've ordered us, all of us, out of the hotel.
Why are they doing this?
I think they will kill us all.
Kill? What do you mean? All? How many?
We have 100 staff, and now more than 800 guests.
800?
Yes, sir. There are now 800 Tutsi and Hutu refugees. We do not have much time left, sir. I want to thank you for everything that you have done for me and my family, and please thank all of my friends at Sabina.
Paul, wait. I'm going to put you on hold. Stay by the phone.
Soldiers patrol the garden.
Louis, get onto the UN. Tell them what's happening.
Did you need something, sir?
Mary, call the Prime Minister's office. Tell them I must speak with him now.
Okay.
Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Who can I call to stop this?
The French. They supply the Hutu army.
Do everything you can to buy time. I'll call you right back.
At the reception desk.
What are you doing, Dubé?
The lieutenant, sir. He wants to see the guest list.
Go and get these boys some more beer.
First eh? Boy, you like beer?
Thank you.
A soldier tips beer on a refugee.
Come with me, please.
Sir, that was 2 weeks ago.
Shh. Here you are, sir.
Anderson Athas Boulier. What is this, huh?
It is the guest list, sir.
Are you trying to make a fool of me?
No. We stopped taking names after the president was murdered. This is the only guest list, sir.
There are no Europeans left. Get me the names of all the cockroaches in there, now.
That will take time.
You don't have time. If I don't have the names, so that I can pick out the traitors, then I'll kill everyone in there. starting with you. Leave. Yes, sir. Hey!
Paul traipses back.
Yes, sir. Who did you call?
Who did I call?
Don't lie to me! What is your name?
Ruse Sebegine. Paul Ruse Sebegine.
I'll remember you. I'll remember you. Let's go. Hey, come on, come on. We're leaving.
Paul makes his way to the roof.
Here we go.
He embraces his family.
I was afraid for you.
Sir, the president of Sabina is on the phone for you.
Mr. Tillant.
Paul, what's going on?
They left. Thank you, sir. What did you do?
I got through to the French president's office.
Well, thank you. You have saved our lives.
I pleaded with the French and the Belgians to go back and get you all. I am afraid this is not going to happen. They're cowards, Paul. Rwanda is not worth a single vote to any of them. The French, the British, the Americans. I am sorry, Paul.
Thank you. There will be no rescue, no intervention force. We can only save ourselves. Many of you know influential people abroad. You must call these people. You must tell them what will happen to us. Say goodbye. But when you say goodbye, say it as though you are reaching through the phone and holding their hand. Let them know that if they let go of that hand, you will die. We must shame them into sending help. Most importantly, this cannot be a refugee camp. The Interahamwe believe that the Mikulin is a four-star Sabina hotel. That is the only thing that is keeping us alive. Have you printed the bills? Thank you. Now please erase the register.
Erase it?
Yes, I want no names to appear there.
Puss, the carpenters are ready.
Tell them to remove all of the numbers from the doors.
And put what?
And put nothing.
Paul knocks at the door of a guest room.
Good day. Here is your bill for the last week. If you cannot pay or think you will not be able to pay, please go to the banquet room and Dubé will take care of you. Thank you.
Does the State Department have a view as to whether or not what is happening could be genocide?
We have every reason to believe that acts of genocide have occurred.
How many acts of genocide does it take to make genocide?
Alan, that's just not a question that I'm in a position to answer.
True that that you have specific guidance not to use the word genocide in isolation, but always to preface it with this word axel.
I have guidance to which I try to use as best as I can. There are formulations that we are using that we are trying to be consistent in our use of.
I'm sorry it is not Glenmorangie.
As long as it is Scotch. Your white friends have abandoned you.
So it would seem.
Well, don't worry. I will take care of you.
I'm glad to hear that, because I was wondering if perhaps you could spare us a few policemen to protect us, sir.
The police are very busy, Paul.
Yes, I'm aware of this, but when I last spoke to the president of Sabina, he assured me that anyone who helped protect Belgian property would be well rewarded.
I will see what I can do.
Excuse me momentarily, sir. Where has all our beer gone?
Sir,
Kaigua has been taking beer.
How much beer?
Many.
He says to me, how do you want the girls? There's a cockroach manager, always kissing us.
Paul rejoins the general.
General, I'm glad you came by. I overheard something that I think you should know about.
What did you overhear?
Well, it was a discussion between a UN colonel and an American embassy official.
And what did they say?
The American assured the colonel that they would watch everything.
How? They are gone, Paul.
With their spies. Satellites.
They're Americans.
You know, I admire you, General. How do you keep command of your men amidst such madness?
I'm a strong man, Paul.
I wish I were more like you. I mean, look at my staff.
Cheers.
He won't work. Listens to no one.
He is staff?
Oh, yes. Yes.
The general gets up and throws a bucket of ice over Gregoire.
Get back to work, you slug! Go!
Satellites. Well, what was I going to say, that the Americans were hiding in the trees?
Paul sips some wine.
What's the matter? I have to go out and get food.
Go out? Where?
To George Rutogunda's place.
No.
I have to, Tatiana. We are only as valuable as the money we give to him.
You cannot go alone.
I'm not going alone. I'll take Gregoire with me. He's a good Hutu, and he wants to impress me now.
Paul walks through a hotel corridor which is lined with refugees.
It is good to see you back at work, Gregoire.
Please accept my humblest apologies.
Please. We have a job this morning. We are going to see George Rutugunda. Please get the van.
In the hotel van, they drive past burning wooden homes. They arrive at George's warehouse and stop at the entrance, guarded by Interahamwe.
Show me your ID.
I'm here to see my friend George Rutugunda.
The guard checks Paul's ID carefully, but eventually lets him through. Gregoire drives the van, whilst Paul proceeds on foot. He looks round to see women in an enclosure mourning around the body of a dead woman. Several pickup loads of militia draw in through the gates. George is in the passenger seat of one.
Hey, oh, my friend. Tutsi prostitutes are witches. So, what can I do for you?
I need supplies, George.
Anytime.
George puts down his gun.
Paul, everything is double the price now. You understand that?
Yes, I need rice, beans, powdered milk, beer, and your best whiskey.
Beer, yes, but whiskey, no.
You have no whiskey?
No whiskey, no spirits. Your rich guests will have to do without their scotch. Anyway, Paul, I've bled that cow enough now.
What are you saying, George?
Your rich cockroaches at the hotel, their money is no good to them anymore. Soon, all the Tutsis will be dead.
You do not honestly believe that you can kill them all.
And why not? Why not? We are halfway there already. So, Paul, you want 12 bags of rice, eh? Give him 12 bags of rice and 4 crates of beer.
Yes, sir, right away.
Oh, and Paul, I'll give you a crate of soft drinks for the kids, free of charge. $10 a beat, huh? Come, quick! And put those in the van, you! Let me give you a little tip, my friend. Our generals in the army said, don't go near the Mikolino, they will send the Belgian soldiers back here. But soon, those generals would have gone, and we would be in charge. It's time to butcher that fat cow of yours for the meat.
With the hotel van loaded up, Paul climbs in.
Let's go.
George leans in.
Maybe you can help us, Paul. You have some very important traitors at that hotel. Now, if we were to get them, then maybe we will let you have one or two cockroaches of your own. You understand?
It is almost dawn, George. We really must be going.
Take the river road back. It's clear.
Gregoire drives along the river road, but a thick mist has reduced the twilight visibility to near zero.
Oi. Oh, Gregoire, what is going on now? You've driven off the road.
No, 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 I'm on the
stop,
road.
Stop, you're going to put us in the river. The stop the car, stop the car.
Paul climbs out and immediately tumbles into a pit. He rolls onto a pile of dead bodies. He staggers back, crawling away from the bodies. Slowly, he gets to his feet and stumbles back towards the van. Standing on the road, he now notices that the way forward is also lined with corpses. He tracks forward, and as the mist lifts slightly, more and more bodies are revealed. Suddenly, he gags and splutters. Covering his mouth with his hands, he returns to the van. Gregoire's expression is blank with shock.
Back off the car, Gregoire. Listen to me. You will tell no one what you have seen here today. No one, Gregoire.
Gregoire has to reverse the van over bodies.
Not today. Please help Gregoire to unload the van. Thank you.
Alone in a changing room, Paul takes off his blood-stained shirt and washes himself. He takes a fresh blue shirt from a hanger and puts it on. He does up his tie, but then chuckles to himself when he realizes he's left the thin end longer than the thick.
Oh, dear.
He tries again, becoming more and more flustered. His brow starting to furrow and his teeth gritted, he yanks the tie off and rips open his shirt. He sinks to the floor and covers his face with his hands.
I don't see.
DeVay and Paul are sitting on a bench while children are dancing in the garden. DeVay stares at Paul, who has his hands clenched together in front of his face. The children make gentle swaying motions with their hands and shuffle back and forth.
Hundreds. It was too many to count.
Why are people so cruel?
Hatred. Insanity, I don't know.
There you go.
Is she putting her fingers in
it? Oh, yes.
I think she has something to do with you. Oh, nothing to do with me. No, you make a mistake. Hello.
Come with me.
Where are we going?
Just come.
Paul leads Tatiana onto the roof, where he has prepared a simple candlelit meal.
It's beautiful. You like it?
He pours her some beer.
I hear we must pay for everything. Yes, this is true.
So, how much for this?
A kiss.
She kisses him.
You are a good man, Paul Russo Sabangina.
They stare out into the night.
I have a confession. When you worked as the nurse...
In Ruhengeri?
Yes. When we first met. I had you transferred to Kigali.
What?
I bribed the Minister of Health to have you transferred to Kigali.
Why?
To be closer. So that I could marry you.
What was the bribe? What am I worth to you?
It was substantial.
Tell me what it was.
A car.
What sort of car?
What does that matter?
I want to know.
A Volkswagen.
A Volkswagen? I hope it was a new one.
Traces of gunfire streak across the sky. Tatiana lies down on a mattress, and Paul puts his arm around her.
We have had a good life, you and I. I thank God every day for the time we've had. We have to have a plan.
A plan?
Our children cannot see us die first. If the militia come, you must come up here as quick as you can.
Please, I don't want to.
You must come up here, Tatiana.
I don't want you to talk like this, please.
We have to, Tatiana. If I do not make it, you must take all of our children by the hand. You must jump.
What are you saying?
You have to, Tatiana. You have to promise me. Tatiana, Tatiana, the machete is no way to die. You have to promise me you will do it.
I could not do it.
You have to promise me, Tatiana. Please, promise me you will do it. Please, Tatiana.
With morbid resignation, she hugs him.
Sorry, I love you.
He strokes her hair.
Elise, you know better. No one can be at the front of the hotel. I've told you this. Take these children in the back. Harry.
Come, children.
Come. Oliver pulls up.
Pa! I've got good news. Congratulations. Your calls have worked. I have exit visas for the following families. Abukesu, Tanzania. Bidori. Kenya. Gituranga, Zambia.
Hallelujah!
Kalisa, Belgium.
Oh, thank you.
Dukuzi, Kenya. Masambo, Zambia. Zinguru, Ghana. Rusesa, Bagdina, Belgium. All right, that's it. So remember, families be ready at 7 a.m. Let's go.
Yeah. I've certainly Odette and Jean-Baptiste are on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jean. Odette. But I've been assured there will be another plane soon. Excuse me.
Don't worry, Tassi. We'll make it to the next list.
Yeah. The girls, Paul, I will not live without them.
Paul comes out as Archer's unloading supplies at the side of the hotel.
What have you brought us?
Oh, antibiotics, medical supplies, general first aid.
Thank you.
I hear there's to be a convoy.
Yes.
Are you on the list?
He gives a wan smile.
Madam Archer, I have an impossible request of you. Is there any way that you could return to the old woman and bring the girls back here to us?
Paul, that side of town has been destroyed in the fighting. They're probably dead.
Madam Archer, I'm begging you. Those girls have no one now.
Barely able to look at him.
I'll try.
We have to leave by 7 a.m.
Who'll take care of the orphans when you're gone?
Odette. Odette will care for them until we can get them out of here.
She nods and shuts the van up.
Tell me, Paul, what country is going to take 20 Rwandan orphans?
I will find someone. I promise you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
He touches her shoulder, and she gets into the driver's seat of the Red Cross van.
New service added. Today, a Red Cross representative claimed that the death rate in the Rwandan conflict may have climbed to as many as 500,000 victims.
Families are being helped into the back of the UN-marked transports. Paul comes to Tassiana.
Where is she?
I don't know. We wait until 7. If she is not back with the girls by then, she may not be coming.
Grégoire watches Paul accepting mail.
Please, take this. Yes, sir, we'll take it.
Thank you so much, Paul. Take it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. I wish I could have done more. I'm sorry. God be with you.
He hugs an elderly woman with a shameful expression and then leaves those who must remain.
Come, children. That's it.
Please, for the girls. We wait a little
bit. We cannot wait.
Let's move out!
As Paul's about to board the transport.
Good luck, sir.
He turns to see Debay and all the others stranded at the hotel, and instead of climbing up, whispers up to Benedict.
I am not leaving your world. That's it. Take care of my family.
I cannot leave these people to die. I cannot leave these people to die.
Lucia! Lucia, I look forward to this place!
As the trucks leave, Benedict restrains Paul's family, who are distraught.
Don't worry. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Gregoire makes his way onto the porch uneasily. The UN transport approaches people in Interahamwe colours, some armed with machetes and scythes. Paul's folding a sheet in a messy hotel room, but stops with a troubled frown and after a moment throws it down.
I say those Hutus who shelter the cockroaches are the same as cockroaches. They are all the same. Their fate should be the same. This is RTLM.
Gregoire takes a hotel van. Tatiana's consoling her son Roger in the UN transport as they pass more into Hamwe militia.
The Tutsi cockroaches of the rebel army must be denied recruits. Come on, good Hutus. The graves are not yet full. Who will help us?
Goddamn radio station.
Gregoire's talking to an Interahamwe member, who then uses a two-way radio.
Stand by your radios. I am hearing some urgent news.
Boss, please come quick.
Not now, Dube.
It is important. It is on the radio. You have to hear it.
This latest news, brothers. We have received reports of very important cockroaches and traitors trying to escape from the Mikulin Hotel. Gather up your weapons. Stand by your radios. We will keep you informed.
No, who told him of this, Dubé?
I saw Gregoire, sir. It is Gregoire. I saw him leaving in our bus.
Interahamwe militia dance at the roadside as the UN transport approaches in the distance.
Please, sir. I will give you whatever I have.
I say we leave that hotel and no one else.
General Bizimungu, they are driving into an ambush.
The militia are gathering around the refugees' convoy. A group of flag and machete-waving militia run down the street. Oliver looks anxiously as a car is rolled out into the road ahead of them.
Slow down. Stay calm.
What's happening? Stop, stop it!
There were cockroaches in this truck.
No. I've got UN personnel in these trucks. I've got permission to go through these roadblocks.
I'm going to search this truck.
You are not going to search this convoy.
Cover me.
Oliver pulls out his gun. Militia start searching the trucks full of refugees.
Get away from that truck! Now!
Tatiana cowers, protecting her children as Benedict is brutally beaten.
Get back! You're not going to hurt these people!
Cockroaches in the truck.
No. There's political refugees under UN sanction.
News has come to us that we have cowards in our own army who will not let us punish them.
A refugee's throat is slashed.
Removing cockroaches from Milkoli?
No, sir. They're political refugees.
They cannot leave Milkoli.
They are not leaving.
Stop him!
Paul hears the gunfire from the hotel.
What's your name?
Oliver clears the truck of militia. The convoy slowly takes a left turn with the bloodthirsty militia chasing after them.
I am receiving more news, Bukutus. I have learned that the traitor Lucessa Bagina's cockroaches are on a truck. 10,000 francs for their heads!
Give me your shirt, quick!
Paul speeds off in a hotel van, but the UN trucks pass him in the opposite direction. He stops and runs after one of them.
Come on, Paul! Come on! Give me your hands! Come on!
Hey, come on! Get him!
paramedic coming. You need to hurry up, please. Come, hurry, hurry.
Paul helps a traumatized Tatiana out.
My darling.
She shrugs him off.
I'm so worried about you.
Get him inside.
Tatiana.
You lied to me. Take this. I don't want it. I don't want it. You said you'd never leave me. You lied to me. You're a liar!
Shh.
Over here.
Tatiana and Paul are walking through the garden, which is now filled with refugees.
I wanted you to be safe, all of you.
That was not your decision to make. We make our decisions together. That was our promise.
You're right. You're right. I knew that the minute the truck pulled away. I'm sorry.
Come on, put some more water.
What are they doing? Dubé.
I'm sorry, sir. They shut down the water. This is all we have.
They're taking water from the swimming pool.
General.
Where are my supplies?
I'm sorry, sir. The cellar is empty.
You have nothing. And yet you call me begging me for help? Do you know the trouble I have protecting these cockroaches?
Sir, I have money from the guests.
Rwandan francs. Those are only good for wiping your ass. There is nothing more I can do for you, Paul. No more police, no more protection. Let the UN take care of you. Drive. Go.
What would Sabina make of this?
A rocket fired at the hotel.
Watch out!
It smashes through a window in a fist of flame.
Get down, get down!
Are you hurt? What? What's that?
There's glass here.
Is anyone hurt with it?
Lots of cuts and bruises.
Paul makes his way to the destroyed room.
Oh, thank God it was a storeroom.
And in Rwanda, humanitarian agencies report that a rapid advance by the Tutsi rebel army has sparked a mass evacuation of Hutu refugees towards the Congo. One aid worker described it as the largest refugee exodus in modern history.
The rebels have taken half the city, and they have proposed a deal the Hutu generals are willing to accept. The rebels will exchange their Hutu prisoners, and you people, all of you, will be able to move behind the rebel lines where it's safe.
The Indahamwe. What about them?
No one controls them.
This time they will kill us all.
They will kill us all if we stay here. We have to take the chance. What time should we be ready to leave?
I can put it together in 2 days, Paul.
2 days?
Colonel, there is no way that we can hold out for 2 days. I have nothing left to bribe them with. Colonel, we will all be dead in 2 days.
Refugees are packed along the hotel's corridors. Paul's lying in a bed next to his wife and daughter. Diane fiddles with her mother's necklace.
Diane, shh. Let your mother rest. You rest too, and go to sleep.
He studies the gold cross on Tatiana's necklace, and it spurs him into thought.
Diplomat. What? I have to go to the diplomat.
Paul climbs into the general's 4x4 as it arrives.
What are you doing?
We have to go to the diplomat.
To do what?
Your items, they are there. Will you please put your policeman at the gate, sir?
No. Let us see what you have to offer first.
As they speed along the road, Paul notices an upturned Red Cross van.
Oh no, another macho.
A At the diplomat hotel, soldiers are firing freely into a crowd. The general's 4x4 speeds into the courtyard. A mortar lands on the forecourt nearby, and Paul covers his head as he runs into the hotel's main building. Paul opens the safe, revealing a dozen bottles of quality scotch and the case of jewelry inside.
Look at this. Nice, yes? And there you are. The rebels are getting closer, yes?
The rebels can have this graveyard. We have ordered everyone out of the city.
Here. Have a drink.
Paul takes a swig.
You know what the Scottish call it?
No.
Iskabaha. Water of life. I went once on a tour of the finest single malt distillery in the world. Have you ever been to Scotland?
No, sir.
Wonderful country. Wonderful golf. I wonder, will I ever go back? What do you think?
No. I hope we all get to do a great many things, General. Can we go now, please, sir?
I am going to do you a great favor, Paul.
Private?
Yes, sir.
Pack those carefully, put them in my jeep and guard them. I am going to take you with us to our new headquarters in Gitarama.
I do not want to go to Gitarama, sir.
Well, you cannot go back to the hotel. The crazy men are on their way there now.
General, we must go back so that I can get my family.
Trust me, we are better off here.
General, these are difficult times. We need to help one another.
And what help can I get from you, Paul?
You are a marked man, sir.
How so?
You are on a list. The Americans have you on their list as a war criminal.
Paul, I am sick and tired of your lies.
Are you stupid, General? How do you think these people operate? You sit here with 5 stars on your chest. Who do you think they are coming after? We will go to Gitarama, and you will stay on that list.
I committed no war crimes.
Who will tell them? You need me to tell them how you helped at the hotel. They blame you for all their misfortunes. They say you led the massacres.
I led no massacres.
Do you think they're going to believe you?
You will tell them the truth.
I will tell them nothing unless you help me. What are you going to do? Shoot me? Shoot me. Please shoot me. It would be a blessing. I would pay you to shoot my family. You cannot hurt me.
You will tell them that I did nothing.
We are leaving. Right now.
The Millet Colline is being looted by militia and the refugees rounded up. The general's men return. Paul searches the hotel, finding every corridor filled with Tutsis being shepherded by militia. He bursts into his bedroom, but finds it empty. He slams open the door to the bathroom, but when he sees it's deserted, staggers back into the bedroom. Gregoire's in the corridor. Paul runs, but is caught. General Bizimungu's men arrive. Paul seizes his chance and runs away, up onto the hotel roof. There, he stops for a moment, listening to the gunfire before slowly walking over to join a number of men, desperately looking over the edge. He sees the bodies of women and children below.
Tassiana! Tassiana!
They look up at him and hush him, and he sees that it's not his family.
Have you seen Tassiana?
No, I've not seen Tassiana. Paul, what is happening?
No, I have to find my wife!
He looks over another edge, then dashes back inside, careering past people in the corridor. Desperate, he runs back into his room. He looks around, lifts up the bed to peer underneath, then sits onto it, defeated. Then he hears a noise. He looks up, then stands and walks towards the bathroom. Looking at the drawn shower curtains around the bath, he hesitates before flinging them open.
They've gone.
Tassiana's pointing the shower head at him. The children, Odette, and another woman are with her.
What are you going to do with this?
His smile turns to anguish.
I thought you had.
Paul shakes his head and Tassiana kisses him with relief. They hold each other for a moment. UN soldiers urge people onto their trucks.
Come on, as fast as you can, everyone, please.
Paul locks the hotel doors and looks inside with Debay.
Hope someday we will come back.
The UN trucks pull away. Paul and his family are in the front one, and he talks to Odette.
What is wrong with her?
She has a very high fever.
He strokes the girl's face, then sits down next to Tassiana. His daughter speaks.
Where are you going, Daddy?
Someplace safe.
Out on a country road, the convoy passes a few Hutu refugees heading in the opposite direction. They turn a corner, and there are more people, most carrying bundles. As the UN trucks trundle along, a steady stream of refugees traipse past. Paul and Tassiana stand up and look out at the front of the truck at all the people. One woman crouches over a body at the side of the road. They look at her with pity, then at each other, before turning back to see a mass of fleeing Hutus filling the road and stopping the trucks.
My God.
Nuns and other Tutsi refugees sit anxiously in the UN transports. The flood of Hutus starts to thin until...
What's happening?
Paul gets up to look out the front of the truck. Refugees are fleeing from smoke up ahead. A gang of Interahamwe militia torch some roadside homes, having butchered the residents. Seeing refugees fleeing militia, Paul orders children to the back.
Bring the children.
Pass them back.
Colonel Oliver tells the head driver,
Do not stop. Go right on through.
Tutsi rebels gather in the trees off to one side. The exposed Interahamwe are suddenly ambushed. They panic as Tutsi rebels pick them off from their woodland cover. Caught in the crossfire, the UN trucks can only continue on while Paul and the other refugees cower in the back. Paul Paul chances a peek over the top of the truck.
What's happening there?
It's the rebels. We're crossing the front line.
It's okay. We're safe. It's okay.
With the UN convoy having crossed the front line, the refugees stop cowering and hug one another. Outside, Tutsi rebels raise their fists in welcome, then continue to push the Interahamwe back. Now the UN trucks are travelling through open countryside, passing a few refugees on foot. The convoy pulls into a Red Cross refugee camp, which is a sprawling mass of vehicles, green tents and people.
She is sick, Kenny.
Okay. Yeah, she's very sick. Take
it. Paul, the buses are on the other side of camp. They'll take you to Tanzania.
Go now, Paul, because I don't know when there'll be another opportunity.
Yeah. Come, sister.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Paul leads his family past the other refugees.
Thank God.
Oh, we made it.
Please, please. Please. Yeah.
Oh.
We are here, eh?
Thank you, Paul.
We have made it.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Come.
Mr. Manager, I just want to thank you.
Of course, David.
Constance!
Course.
Constance! Oh, oh, thank God you are alive. It's so good to see you. Have you seen my brother and his wife? No.
Tatiana with a photo.
Have anyone seen these people?
Oh, no.
You don't recognize.
Mama, come see you quick.
An ID board.
Here, yeah, Mama, look.
Can you see?
Please.
You see them, Mama? Is that them? Is that them, Mama?
Do you recognize these people? These two girls, she's coming in the sun, she's carrying
No.
Do you recognize them?
Have you seen these girls?
No. I haven't.
Have any of you seen these girls?
Paul glances over at his wife. Paul and his family are swept along with the tide of people towards the buses. Archer is handing out sheets in the medical tent.
We find the girls, we will.
Archer recognizes a child. She hugs the poorly little girl and then asks a colleague,
where'd you find this child?
They just arrived on trucks from the Milkalin.
Archer hurries outside.
All military evacuees to the buses now.
Oh no!
Paul, Tatiana, and their children take a seat on one of the buses.
Wait!
Archer races alongside the line of vehicles as they start to pull away.
Madam Archer! Madam Archer! Stop the bus! Stop the bus! Stop the bus!
Come,
please, wait for us. Madam Archer, I was so worried, I thought... Wonderful to see you.
Come quickly.
She leads Paul and his family past tents to a line of orphaned kids being served rice. The Rusa Sabaginas desperately check every face. Tatiana spots some children singing nearby and stares at two girls amongst them. She sweeps them into her arms and Paul joins her. Roger and Paul's daughters join the family reunited, and Archer smiles at the touching scene.
They said there wasn't any room.
There's always room.
Paul and Tatiana lead all the orphans back towards the buses. Paul Rusesabagina sheltered 1,068 Tutsi and Hutu refugees at the Milekelin Hotel in Kigali. Paul and Tassiana now live in Belgium with their children and their adopted nieces. Tassiana's brother, Thomas, and his wife, Videns, were never found. In 2002, General Augustin Bizimungu was captured in Angola and transported to the UN War Crimes Tribunal in Tanzania. At the same tribunal, the Interahamwe leader, George Rutagunda, was sentenced to life in prison. The genocide ended in July 1994, when the Tutsi rebels drove the Hutu army and the Interahamwe militia across the border into the Congo. They left behind almost a million corpses.
But you never get burned. But I wish some didn't get burned in Rwanda, yeah. They said the man is judged according to his works. So tell me, Africa, what's your worth? There's no money, no diamonds, no fortunes on this planet that can replace Rwanda. Rwanda, Rwanda. These are the cries of the children. Anybody hear my cry? America, it's the United States of America. Then why can't Africa be the United States of Africa? Rwanda, Rwanda. And if England is the United Kingdom, then why can't Africa unite all the kingdoms and become the United Kingdom of Africa? Rwanda, 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 Rwanda. Yeah.